So we've been talking about for the last few days this Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Mem Vav, beginning of the fifth parak, that provides us with both the source and the scope of Hamotzi Mechaveh Avaraya. And we have been dealing so far with two technical questions, two technical kashas on the Gemara that get into the token of the svaras, but the kashas are themselves technical kashas, one of which was, how could there be how could the Gemara say lamali kras svarahu, as though according to Tosis and Shavuos the svar is such a svar pshuta, hamotzi mechaveh avaraya is such a self-evident svara, and yet it's mutav machlokas. Problem number one. Problem number two. Not only is it mutav machlokas, but and so it's odd that we would say this is a svara pshuta, lovingly cross svarahu, as opposed to saying what the Gemara usually says, ibayasei mekroi, ibayasei mesara. It's a good svara, but there's also a pasuk. And not only that, but Rashi Nitin, ignores the svara, which is the maskan of our sugya, quoted only the pasuk, which in our sugya, balkam and vav, was merely the havamina. So we mentioned two or three terutzim. We mentioned the Yerushalmi does present Hamotzi Mechaveh Avaraya as being based on a pasuk. Yerushalmi does not say neither Havmina nor Maskana it's a Svara, and Yerushalmi happens to also be comfortable with learning both dinim from the same pasuk, as the Pnei Moshe inside Yerushalmi had addressed. You can learn both Toveya Tchila as well as Hamotzi Mechaveh Avaraya from the same Yigash Alein. Okay. So that already sets the stage. There are at least some Amoraim who held not like what the Bavli says. There are at least some Amoraim who held Hamotze Mechaveh Avaraya is based on the Pasuk. And then in terms of Rashi doesn't say Yerushalmi, nor does Rashi say Stam. Rashi Gittin does say Bava Kamma. So Yerushalmi alone is not going to solve the problem. But you have the Mendel Zaks who said, maybe Rashi had a different girsa in the Gemara Bava Kamma, in which the order is reversed, and therefore it was Nizkakin with Toveya Tchila, which was moved to a Svara. Hamotzi Mechaveh Avaraya comes from a Pasuk. That was Mendel Zaks' girsa, Reshefta quotes in Gina Segos. Alternatively, you have the approach of Pnei Shu and Tveres Yaakov. The girsa is as is, but the reference of the Gemara is specifically according to Rav, and not according to Shmuel. So in terms of that, before we move on to the next step of working this out, I just want to highlight the Ravid. And then you have in front of you, the Ravid is very suggestive. We don't have Ravid. Ravid seems to have written, we know the Ravid as the Baal HaSagas. The Ravid is famous in Yeshivas as having written HaSagas, most famously on the Rambam and on the Rif as well. But the truth is, Chaim Soloveitchik points out, that was not, the Rishonim didn't see the Ravid as the Baal HaSagas. And the Iri refers to the Ravid as Gedolei HaMefarshim, ironically. Rashi, the Iri sees Rashi as Gedolei HaRabbanim, and he sees the Ravid, of all people, as Gedolei HaMefarshim. The HaSagas of the Ravid, for which he's most famous to us, the HaSagas of the Rambam, something he wrote at the end of his life, just to demonstrate that you could argue with the Rambam. The Rambam was Gedolik, but he's not the final word. So as a much older man, the Ravid wrote the Kadnach casually, quote unquote, knocked off a couple of thousand Hasagas on the Rambam. That's why many point out that just because the Ravid doesn't disagree with the given Rambam, just because he didn't write a Hasaga, doesn't necessarily mean he agrees. He wasn't trying to write a comprehensive show every single time he disagreed with the Rambam. He just wanted to show a couple hundred, couple thousand Hasagas, and they're Kach the Rambam also. But the Bishaito, the Ravid was Gedolei HaMefarshim. We only have his Chidushim on a couple of Masechtos, primarily in Bava Kamma. You learn Bava Kamma, you have access to Chidush HaRavid, but later we showed him, quote, Chidush HaRavid, we don't have the Svarim, but they had, and plenty of other Masechtos as well. But you learn Bava Kamma, even we have a Chidush HaRavid. The Chidush HaRavid, the first page in Shar Shnagas HaParam, in Vav and Beis, there are two intriguing things. Number one, in terms of the order of the Dibra HaMaschils, he has a piece on Lamali Krasvar, Manda Isla Kiva, etc. But before that, he talks about his Kakhna Taveh Tchila. is fascinating. The order of Dibra HaMaskil and the Ravid seems to line up with the girsa that Remendel Zach suggested. I told you yesterday, I looked in the Diktuke Sofrim, they don't have any alternative girsa, but there is a hint in the Ravid that maybe the Ravid talked about the girsa of Remendel Zach. Perhaps. So that's one very suggestive note in the Ravid in support of the Seder of the Dibra HaMaskil, the sequence of Dibra HaMaskil in the Ravid supports the Mendel Zatz, perhaps. And the content, moving from Tzura to Tochen, the content of what the Ravid writes about in Dibra HaMaskil Halama Likros Svarahu is not identical but similar to the Pnei Yoshua. He doesn't talk about Rav versus Shmuel, he talks about Chachamim versus Sumchus. And he says, who says it's such a svara? Maybe we talk about a case where there's a rove. There's, oh, okay. He says, but according to Sumchus, what would you say? That's what the Ravid writes. Ikla Meimar, Teinach L'Rabban, L'Sumchus, my Ikla Meimar. So we would have maybe said, Teinach L'Shmuel, but L'Rav, my Ikla Meimar. So he's not saying exactly what the Pnei Yeshua said, but incredibly similar. So the Ravid does seem to, ironically, provide support for both of the Teirutzim to Rashi. It seems to provide a smach to Menachem Mendel Zaks's, maybe there's a different girsa. The Ravid perhaps had a different girsa, because the Dibra HaMaskil's, his order of Dibra HaMaskil's is different than the way our Gemara flows, and it accords with the Mendel Zaks's girsa. The Nitzkat HaTavidetchil comes first, and then afterwards, Halam Likra Svara. But at the same time, he's understanding Lam Likra Svar is a reference to Talmud Tamechel Arayas. It's not 100% like Mendel Zaks, but it does seem at least a little bit of a smach. In terms of the tochen, the content, what he says, it's very, very similar to Pnei Yeshua. In a Hanami, he asked Akasha, well, the Svar isn't going to tell you to Ein Halcham and Acharov. He said, yeah, but the Svar, but if you don't hold of that, he says Sumchus, well, you could also say Rav. The Gemara was asking, if you don't hold Ein Halcham and Acharov, so then who needs a pasuk? But in a Hanami, it sounds like, if you hold Ein Halcham and Acharov, of course, you do need the pasuk, which sounds very, very similar to the Pnei Yeshua. So that's just point number one. This is sort of a Hashmatas and Miluim to yesterday. We had laid out the Terutzim. It's important to note that the Ravid does seem to provide at least some smach to the Mendel Zaks, and a fair amount of smach to the Pnei Yeshua and the Tveras Yaakov. Yeah, yes.
Rav and
Simchus not. We're going to get back to Simchus. Simchus holds of Hamotz Mecheverel Varaya even less than Rav did. Even Rav was working within the Chachamim. Simchus has an even more shrunken view of Hamotz Mecheverel Varaya. We'll get to that soon. This Ravid is interesting in other ways also. When we get to Bava Metzia Daf Kuf, we'll see. So it's not the same as the Pnei Yeshua, but certainly the same basic way of thinking. Yeah, Avidan.
I forgot to grab for a second.
Here you go. Now, one. So we addressed the two kashas of how do you have a svara that's mutab machlokas, and yet we're saying lam likra svara. The answer is that we addressed. The Tosfos Shavuos we addressed. Good. Now, this svara is talking about particular Pnei Yeshua and the Ravid. This svara is just for the most basic level of Hotzav Avraya. And Rashi and Gittin, again, according to Pnei Yeshua, in the Chadami. Rashi and Gittin said, but according to Shmuel, the svara is not enough. You taka do need a pasuk. Of course, then that raises the question that we had left hanging, which is, what taka is the svara for Shmuel? What taka is the svara? So Ravi understand, Hamotzi Mechavel Avraya, and Rov Taka is a riot. Okay, good. You need a riot. Rov is a riot. What's Shmuel saying? Well, you have a pasuk. Okay, but what's the pasuk teaching me? And that's what, again, the Pnei Yeshua is saying, and the Tzfaras Yaakov is saying, and the Ravid is saying, well, you need a pasuk to tell you not to follow Rov. So what does that mean? What's the nature of that din? So there is a famous Trumas Hadeshin, made famous, I think, by the Ktzos. Trumas Hadeshin is in his Tzuvas, the Simen Shin Mem Test, quoted by the, I gave you the Maror Makomos, where if you want to find this Ktzos, that Ktzos, Simen Reish Peis of Cut and Bays, a number of things going on in that Ktzos, but he opens by quoting this Trumas Hadeshin. And we'll get to Trumas Hadeshin in a moment, When I came across also, one part of the Truman Sedeshin, the Truman Sedeshin was a late Ashkenazi Rishon. He lived in, I believe, the 1400s. The one line of the Truman Sedeshin already, we'll come back to Truman Sedeshin, one line already appears in an earlier Rishon from Provence, the Rilunel. The Rilunel is quoted by the Shita Mekubetzes as saying the following. Because Rabbein Yehonasan. Rabbein Yehonasan is Rabbein Yehonasan of Lunel. Shenemar mibal dvarim toveya yad Yisrael leim kalal gadol nosan. What does that stand for? Mem reish ayin hey. Moshe Rabbeinu al vashal. It's a pun also. The Moshe Rabbeinu, before he became the leader of Klal Yisrael and the Supreme Navi, worked as a shepherd. And he was looking for mir'ah for his tzon. The Rosh HaTevis is clever because the Rosh HaTevis is mir'ah, but it stands for Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Hashalom. The three famous Alav Hashalom Rosh HaTevis is Alav Alav Ayin Hey, that's Avram Avinu Alav Hashalom. There's Dalid Hey Ayin Hey, David HaMelech Alav Hashalom, and there's Mem Resh Ayin Hey, Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Hashalom. So this pasuk, why is it talking about Moshe Rabbeinu? Because this pasuk is what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Klal Yisrael before he goes up the mountain. He leaving Klal Yisrael in the charge and the care of the other leaders. So Klal Gadol Nasan Moshe Rabbeinu La'ain Zekenin Ve'arun V'chur. He's telling before he heads up to the Har Sinai, he tells Aaron and Chur and the Zekenin Shelo Yodunu Shum Apuke Mamona Bedas Machras Uveruba. He's telling them don't if there's a Dine Mamonis case while I'm gone, don't adjudicate it in Torah. Don't come to a conclusion merely based on Das Machras, your Svara, or a rove, Ella Birai. But instead, you have to insist Das Machras is not enough, rove is not enough, you need a raya. What the Rilunel is saying very subtly is that the Pasuk is teaching me that rove is not a raya, which is what the Truman Sadeshin writes at the end of, well, not the end of the tshuva, but the end of the part of the tshuva that I copied and pasted into the Maror HaMakomos. He says, rove is not a raya. Rove is not a raya. So the Rilunel says it, Truman Sadeshin says it, both of these Rishonim are saying that rove is not a raya. But the question is, what does that mean? The rove is a raya. We opened the year. We have Shimon Shkop. Rove is a beerer. What do you mean rove is not a raya? What does it mean? Not that Truman Sadeshin and the Rilunel are mechiv to make Rav Shimon happy, but that would be very anachronistic. But what does this mean? Rove does work b'chol Torah kula. It is a raya. It is a beer. Now, so the Truman Sadeshin has a lot more to say. Truman Sadeshin, that the case is fascinating and very sad, and in his analysis, he has more to say also. They just to speak very briefly about the background, says that Shuvas are always, as Chaim Soloveitchik points out, a slice of Jewish history. This happens to be a particularly tragic slice of Jewish history. It's the aftermath of a terrible pogrom, maybe probably a crusade, or maybe it's the Rheinflash massacres. The community is laid waste by marauding Nachrim. He talks about Yom Hereg Rav. There was a day of terrible murder. The whole community was wiped out. Husband, wife were among those who were wiped out, but some of the children survived, but the children were taken and forcibly converted to Christianity. They were Yiladim b'nei chamesh v'sheish v'sheva, 5, 6, 7-year-olds. L'kachum ha'nachrim. The Christians kidnapped these kids, they killed the parents, and they take the kids, v'evirum al dasam, and they forcibly baptize them, convert them to Christianity. And now they disappeared into Christendom. We don't know where these kids are. We have no idea what they're up to. We can't identify. We can't track them. We don't know if they're still alive or, tragically, the opposite. Whether they've passed away. And we don't even know. Maybe Reuben and Leah had other kids too. We know that there are survivors from the town who knew that Reuben and Leah had these 5, 6, 7-year-olds. They may have been babies also they didn't even know about. And then, 9 years after that terrible massacre, the mother's father, the wife's father, Leah's father, God, passes away. He had lived in a different country, and his only child had been Leah, who had been married to Reuven. And Leah had been in this town, and she and her husband had been killed by the marauding Christians. And God has grandchildren through Leah, but they've disappeared. God had a fair amount of money. Now the Shiloh unfolds as follows. Who gets God's Yerusha? So often you say, it's God's brother, Asher. Because God has no, those who learn Yesh Nochlin, you know that the order of inheritance is first, if there are any surviving descendants, children, grandchildren. If not, then you work your way up one level and down. The father, or the brothers, or the nephews. So God's brother Asher says, my brother God passed away without any descendants, so I'm the next in line to inherit. Who would even dispute that? Who would even dispute that? Well, we don't. There are no. His only daughter was massacred 9 years earlier by the Christians. The grandchildren, we have no idea where they are, who they are. But Reuven has a brother also. So Reuven's brother, who we're referring here to as Shimon, I believe, he says, no. He says, my brother, he says, what he says to Asher, when God passed away, the Yerusha went to his grandchildren. And if the grandchildren subsequently passed away, so I'm their uncle. So at the very least, I'm going to be the trustee. And maybe at some point we should assume they're no longer alive. Then if it goes to them and they pass away, so then I'm the Yorish because I'm their uncle. So now it's a question, does the Yerusha of Leah's father go to Leah's uncle? Or does it go down to Leah's kids and from there to Leah's brother-in-law Shimon? Complicated case. So there are, and the Truma Session says, in the Truma, says they both have, there's a lot of substance what both of them are saying. Divrei Shimon va'asher shneim nechochim hem. They're both saying thoughtful thing. Kol echa tonu meisha drama ha'im l'tonu l'ashiv. They're both making reasonable points. There's more to the Shiloh also, but that's sort of the skeletal version. Is that we're going to have to really dig into the sugya. No one is saying anything silly here. They're both very reasonable arguments. So one issue was, there are three major points. I'll mention all of them, but we'll focus on the third. The first point, Asher says, God's brother, the brother of the Nifter, he says, God has no descendants. Maybe the grandchildren who became Christians, maybe they all passed away already. We don't even know if they're alive. So the Truma Session says that's not a valid point. We already before Yom Tov had a chance to see Gittin Chavches, Ches Kes Chai. We don't know whether Reuven and Leah's children who were kidnapped are alive or not. Okay, it's a suffix. So last we saw them, they were alive. They should have a Ches Kes Chai. Okay, that's point number one. That's Dir Masel Tainus Asher Rishona. But then he says, point number two, Asher also says, well, even if they're alive, they convert to Christianity, so they can't be Yoresh. Dinam Kenachrim. Truma Session says, I have a lot that's a big, big sugin going on in Rishonim. That's far from obvious that because they convert to Christianity, they're not Yorshim. So that's Dir Maschel Masha Hesha. And then he says, well, a third point. Maybe there are more kids. Shimon had raised the issue. Aside from the kids we knew about, maybe we should even assume, even if you would be able to identify the 5, 6, 7-year-olds, and we would demonstrate that we know that they passed away a few years later, then maybe there are more kids. Some of there were more kids. Reuven and Leah were a normal, healthy couple. So probably over the couple of years, the robe would indicate they probably had more children. Take a look at the last Dibra Maschel on the page. Masherotze Shimon Lizko's ode. Mitam Acher. Mistama Eishas Reuven Achiv. His brother Reuven and his sister Lolea. Yaldala Odiladim Kitan. They probably had even more children. God. were probably still under bar mitzvah when their grandfather God passed away. Taina ru'uya, it's a fair point. Tzarech namelis sash, we need to think about it. Why are you going to think about it? Because it goes on to quote that the Gemara at the very end of Yevamis, of Kuf Yutes, has a row. Here, rov nashim misabros v'yoldos. Over the course of several years, a normal healthy woman in childbearing age most likely will have a child. So, and that's a pretty strong rov. MK in third line from the bottom. Muchach hasam nami, the rov gamru midaris is a real rov. There's not a drabanan to consider as though it's a rov. The real rov works in the Torah. It works in the context of Masechet Yevamos and Hilchos Aguna. So imkena milo nezel basaruba. So why not? This is point number three in Trumas Dasha. Point number one was, should we assume that the children who we know are alive were still alive? Okay, one issue. Another issue, what's the status of Mishumadim? They converted out to another religion. And especially since here it was done forcibly. Okay, also interesting issue. Tragic and important to think about. But now issue number three. Should we assume there are probably more kids we don't even know about? Rove indicates there are more kids. Amnam nira lahashiv shapir. The Shulman Zesh said, that is a good point. There is a rove. He says, b'venira dar dekaimel en hocha mamon acharov, heicha de'ikha cheskas mamon neged harov. Afa gav de'bishar duchtam, reading Ruvu Chazak Rubadav. He makes a very interesting point. He says, Shmuel says, Ain't holchem amon acharov, right? These are bread and butter by now. Achol kishrav shmuel, and hilchos akishmuel bedini, dinamadus pas like shmuel, ain't holchem amon acharov. So the suddeshin very subtly but directly raises a stira between ain't holchem amon acharov above a kavur vav above a basra of 10 days versus kiddushin dafpei. Ruba v'chazaka, rubad. I thought the rule is if rov versus chazaka, rov wins. You mean Shmuel holds that Chazaka wins over Rov? Ruba v'Chazaka, Rov wins. And yet, ain't Holchen the Mamon Achar Rov. So which one is it? It's the translation points out, isn't there a Sphira between Bava Kamam and Vav versus Kiddush and Dafei? So what's the Trumas Hadeshin's answer? Shiny Chezkes Mamon. Chazaka of money is different. The Isbei Taima. There's a reason. There's a new phenomenon. There's a new mechanism, which is Hamotzi Mechadero Olav Haraya. They have a special din. Hamotzi Haraya Veruba Lo Mikri Raya. And Rove is not called a riot. Okay, so that last line, those last four words, are same as the Rilunel a century or two earlier. The Rove is not called a riot. But he's giving us a lot more. Not only a very fascinating, rich Shailan Tshuva, but even within this context. Now when he's raising the Kasha, fascinating Kasha, of how could Shmuel say, in Ocham Amanacha Rove, if we possibly like the chum against Rav Meir, that Rubim Chazaka Ruba Adar. So what was his answer? It was a multi-layered answer. The first thing he said is Shiny Cheskes Mamon. Cheskes Mamon is different. In our terminology, that's the Prima Gadim in the Psicha Kalela is telling us the word Chazaka doesn't always refer to the same concept. So yes, Rubim Chazaka Ruba Adar, that's Chazaka de Meikara. But here, Ein Hochel Mamon Acharov, they talk about Muchzak. That's, Muchzak is not the same as Chazak Demeikar. Chazak Demeikar means I know what the status was yesterday, I'll assume the same is true now. That's not what's going on by Muchzak. As the Ktsos goes on to explain in Simon Reish Pei, says, Muchzak is not Chazak Demeikar at all. Chazak Demeikar means I know that the mikvah was full yesterday, I don't know if it changed or not. 2 points in time, it's diatonic. I knew the facts yesterday, I don't know the facts now. Muchzak is not diatonic. It's not that, well, I know it was yours yesterday. I don't know anything about yesterday. Right now, you're muchzak. It's systonic. It's only 1 point in time. Moreover, it's not that I know it's yours now. It's not I know yesterday, I don't know today. It's something different. It's a whole different concept. It happens. You also use the word chazaka. There is a presumption, but based on a totally different basis. Not a presumption about now based on knowledge about yesterday. It's a presumption about now based on possession now. I see that you have possession of it, that you're muchzak on it, and therefore I'm going to assume that you own it. I can see directly that you're holding it. You're wearing that sweatshirt right now, not yesterday. Yeah. Right now you're wearing that sweatshirt. Akiva's wearing a gray sweatshirt. So I don't know for sure that's his. I can't see that it's his. I can see that he's muchzak on it. That's clear. He's wearing the sweatshirt. See, it's birshuso. I see that he's muchzak on it. But that creates a present muchzak creates a presumption of present shalom. That's muchzak. That's what the Torah Zashen says. Chazaka of money is different than chazaka dinei kara. Something's called chazkas isa. Chazaka dinei kara is weaker than ro. But over here, chazkas mamon, according to Shmuel, is stronger than ro. And he's saying that's why Shimon's taina that, well, probably Reuben and Leah had more kids. That is a rove, but we don't follow a rove by mamon. Why? Because it's against the muchzak. I rule chazor rube. No. That's chazaka de meikara. Cheskas mamon is different. Okay. So far we have a chiluk. We don't have a hezber. I know the Jewish Zashen said, well, chazaka de meikara and muchzak, cheskas mamon are two different things. But why? They're both ways of creating presumptions. So how come the presumption, the chazaka, based on chazak din ekara, loses to rov, while the presumption based on muchzakus wins against rov? Now we're getting to the heart of the issue. Why do we hold like Shmuel? Why is it helchum amenach rov? And I would add a step, because we spend time before Yom Tov on understanding why the presumption based on chazak din ekara loses to rov, and that was Reb Shimon's whole shpar. The Ruba Chazaka, Ruba Adif, not because Chazak Nekar is weak, sometimes it's very strong, but because Chazak Nekar is not Mevar the Metzius, it's just a Hanhaga. Whereas Rov is a Mevar. So that's interesting. Muchzak is also a Hanhaga to rule. If you don't know who owns the sweatshirt, well, whoever has possession over it keeps it until you have a Raya otherwise. So that's a Hanhaga. So why doesn't that lose to Rov? And what's more, if the rule is you need a raya, rov is a raya, right? So how come I have a chiluk, but what's the hezber? You differentiate between chazak d'neikar, which loses to rov, and chazkas mamon, muchzak, which wins against rov. Why? So the Truth Zeshin says, well, because here there's an a rule of hamotze nechaver v'araya, and the muchzak has a special rule tag attached to it. Hamotze nechaver v'araya, and rov is not a raya. I, rov, is a raya. So what he's driving at Lechor, this is the way the Rebbe Shechter has this nusach, I think other Acharim do as well. Hamotze mecheveiro olav ha-raya. It's not enough to have a raya. You need the raya. You need what hamotze mecheveiro raya is teaching you. And the truth is that this is going to flow naturally, logically, from what the Pnei Yeshua pointed out. Which, again, is what the Ravid is already saying. Just to tell me you need some raya, that's a svara pshuta. But what's the drasha adding? Of course, it's self-evident. Let me cross svaru. I know on my own that we're not going to take it from the muslim based on no raya. This is what he says, because I say that sweatshirt is mine. And Akiva says, no, I'm wearing it, it's mine. Well, of course, Bezos isn't not going to award it to me just because I said so. So the fact that you need some raya, that's a davar pashut. What the drasha is being most, and according to Rav, as Pnei Yeshua says, the dumb. Right? According to as Ravid said, if you hold to the most basic level of Moshe Mechvel Rav, so that's as far. You need something. What Shmuel says, no, you need a pasuk to teach me that we raise the standard of Raya above the normal standard of evidence in other areas of halacha. That Hamot Mechvelo, Eilcha Mamon Acharo. Remember, he said this is Cheskas Mamon. And this is based on the principle of Hamotzi Mechavero Olav Ha
raya.
You need not a raya, as in a raya alimta. You need a extra strong, not some a regular raya. You need the raya. You need an extra strong raya. Rove is a raya, but it's not as strong as edim. So the standard of evidence, the different areas of Allah have different standards of evidence. Sometimes one aid is enough, sometimes you need two aid them. We know that from elsewhere as well. So the Chiddush Akra, what the Drasha is teaching me, if you hold of the Drasha, if you hold like Shmuel against Rav, and you actually need a Drasha on the Raya, that being Mechadesh, that you need even a higher standard of evidence than most other areas of Halacha. While else, usually Rav works, but Rav is insufficient. We don't, so to speak, you know, other areas of Halacha, 5 points of evidence is enough, but here you need 10 points of evidence. So Rav gives you 6 points. It'd be enough for other areas of Halacha, but the standard, the bar is higher in Mammon. Why? It's just a Hanhaga. Yeah, but what we're saying, L'chora, is the Torah is Mechadesh. If you're the Mukhzah, if you're the Chezkas Mammon, you have the right to demand a higher level of proof. That's a zuchus of the muchzak, which the Torah is mecharish. The muchzak has the right to demand a higher standard of proof. That's why, and I'll demonstrate that in two ways. And with this, we'll wrap up the sugya. Maybe we'll have a chance to begin to peek into the next gemara. But let me demonstrate, build out this idea in two ways. This notion, what it seems to emerge from between the lines of the Trumas Hadeshin and the Rilunel, as well as the Rive in the Pnei Yeshua, that what? That if you hold like Shmuel, as we do, in Halacha Mammon Acharov, what that means is that you have a drasha, it's mechadesh, that hamot mechaver of harai, you need a higher standard of proof to be motzi from a muchzak. And that's a right, a zechus of being a muchzak. So that explains two things. Number one, it explains that it explains two types of cases in which we do follow Rov B'Mamon. Once you understand that Inhoch B'Mamon Acharov is because a schus of the Muchzuk to demand a Raya Limta, that's why there are two exceptions to Inhoch B'Mamon Acharov. The first type of exception is, let's say, Hashavas Aveda. Hashavas Aveda. So Hashavas Aveda, we do use Rov to figure out who owns something. Why? It's a mammon. Because exactly, it's a mammon, but there's no muchzak. No, the one who found it doesn't even claim that it's his. So, I found a water bottle. So I don't think it's mine. I know it's not mine. So my possession doesn't make me a muchzak, and no one else is holding it. So no one's a muchzak. So if no one's a muchzak, then we do follow Rav, because it's just a schus of the muchzak. Even by Yerusha, the end of the Trumas Hadeshin, which I left out, the last part of this Trumas Hadeshin, he starts talking about, well, here's an interesting question. If there's a Suffolk who was Yoresh, is anyone the Muchzak? I mean, the property used to belong to God, the grandfather. Then God died. So, well, you know, all of God's assets are in God's house. Okay, so whoever has a house is Muchzak on all the assets. But who has a house? I don't know. Whoever was Yorish God has the house. So, but the question is, who is the Yorish? Is God's brother Asher the Yorish? Or is God's daughter's brother-in-law Shimon the Yorish? That's exactly the question. So it's an interesting question. The Truva's Deshin goes on. This part doesn't appear on the page. The end of the Truva, based on a Sugi of Amos, what do you do when you're not sure who the Yorish is? Is there any Muchzak? Or maybe it's hard to really say who the Muchzak is, because that's exactly the question. Whose house is it? It's an interesting logical question. So you will sometimes have a Suffolk Mammon, and we're about to get to Baba Basra. We're going to see in Daf Lamed Daled Lamed Hey. There are plenty of cases where there are plenty of cases of Suffolk Mammon without any Muchzuk. Then already, Rove is going to be a valid concept. It's not that Rove doesn't work in Halacha. It's not even that Rove doesn't work in Dini Mammonus. It's just that if someone can be identified as the muchzak, he now has a special right to demand raya alimta. Okay, but if there is no muchzak, which is the case by Sharvas Aveda, which may or may not be the case by Yerusha, If there is no machzak, so then you can go back to the normal rule of azlinan basaruba. That's exception number one to Shita Shmuel that in halacha mamon acharov. And then there's exception number two, which is a gemara in Bava Basra that we already took a peek at before Yom Tov. The gemara at the bottom of Hey Amad Aleph talks about the following scenario. Bava Basra, Hey Amad Aleph. If you happen to have Bava Basra, you can take a peek. If not, you can take a look later. Bava Basra, Hey Amad Aleph. After the Mishnah, the Gemara talks about I go to Chaim, I say, hey Chaim, I lent you $1,000. And that's not debatable. Because Rafi and Eitan were witnesses. Before Yom Tov, I lent Chaim $1,000. Right? And we had made up, and Rafi and Eitan remember that Chaim and I had discussed the terms of the loan. And we had agreed that he would pay me back by Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. And I come to Chaim. And I say, hey Chaim, you owe me $1,000. And Rafi and Eitan were agents. And Chaim says, yeah, but I paid you yesterday. Now, we're not up to Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan yet. That's later in the week. So what Chaim is claiming is that Piraticha Toch Zamani. I paid you back already before the due date. So the Gemara suggests that that's a very, very unlikely scenario. Who pays back a loan early? Even Yekas pay on time. Early is also, I think I say that in German, I want to try that. On a Zoom, actually. Gich is auch nicht pünktlich, I think that's how I say. Early is also not on time. It's on time. And other people, unfortunately, sometimes run late. Who pays back a loan early? Some people do, but it's very rare. Chazaka, the Gemara says, that's the Gemara's discussion. Should I say that there's a strong rov? Chazaka ein adam pareya tov zmano. That the rov is that people don't pay their debts. Very few debts get paid, satisfied ahead of schedule. So Chaim is claiming that he already paid the money back before it was even due. The Gemara has a discussion. Does Chaim win? He agrees that he borrowed the money. The Edom say he borrowed the money, but he says he paid back. And I say, you didn't pay back. And Chaim himself said, well, I paid back. Toch hazman. So what would you have said? And the Gemara very seriously entertained, saying that Chaim Tak is still on the hook. We're not going to accept your claim that you paid back before the due date. What's the problem with that? Yeah! Who's the muchzak? Me, the malva, or Chaim the lover? Who's the muchzak? Chaim, it's his money. He has money in his pocket. I claim he has to hand over $1,000 of that money in his pocket. And he says, no, I don't owe you any money anymore. I already paid you back. Right, so I claim he owes me $1,000 still. And he says, no. So clearly he's a muchzak. Right now the money is in his pocket. And I want to give it to me. So Chaim the Lova is a muchzak. Or the erstwhile Lova is a muchzak. And I, the erstwhile Malva, am the motzi. And the Gemara says, the Gemara it seriously entertains that I should win. I can force him to pay me $1,000 based on a rove. Based on a rove? Ain't al gamam anach rove. What's going on? So one exception to ain't al gamam anach rove, we said, was when there is no muchzak. In the case of Shavas Aveda, perhaps in the case of Yerusha, we'll get to Baba Basalam with Dalalam. And hey, other cases where you have an asset that no one's really muchzak on, but that's not this. This is exception number two. There is clearly a muchzak. The money is in Chaim's pocket. The money is in Chaim's bank account, and I'm suing him for it. So Chaim is the muchzak, and I am the motzi. So what happened to Hamotzi Mechre of Haraya Raya Limta Ruba Lo Ikri Raya? As the Rilu Nel and Truas Adashim both said, Rov is not a raya limta. Rov is a flimsy raya. I should need to aid him. So how come this is an exception? Yeah, what do you say?
Maybe the reason the Gemara doesn't use is the word rove is because the 51% wouldn't be enough, but in this case, it's such a strong rove.
Good, Yonah.
Maybe there's a chazaka before, during the time that you lend the money, there's a chazaka that still owe the person, so therefore...
Okay. So Yonah's raising the issue, which I don't want to get involved in now, of Chezkas Chiyuv, that Chaim admits that at some point he owed the money, so maybe there's a Chazak in the Meikara. Chazak in the Meikara usually does not push the needle in Dinim Amenas, but the word Chazaka, Emin is pointing out, I remember I told you, the word Chazak can mean many different things. So far we saw that the Primogad, Rabbi Schechter's twist on the Primogad. Six different concepts called Chazaka. So one type of Chazaka is Chazaka de Meikara. One type of Chazaka is Chazkas Abadata. A third type of Chazaka is Muchzak, which we're talking about now. A fourth use of the word Chazaka is a rove. Chazaka in the Barreta of Zmano is really a rove. Why is it called Chazaka? As Emmet said, we use the word Chazaka when we want to like an exceptionally Chazak. An exceptionally strong rove, not a 51% rove garua, not even merely a rove bari, but probably a tier 3 or even tier 4 rove. Chazaka the prayer to Chazamano is not just, 60% of the time people don't pay their loans, 40% of people pay their loans ahead of schedule? No, maybe 5% of people pay their loans ahead of schedule. It's an overwhelmingly strong rove. This is the idea that Rabbi Akiva Eiger and others develop in several different contexts, that yes, ain't all open moment after our rove, if it's a regular rove, like a tier 1 or even a tier 2 rove bari, we said a rove, regular rove bari, 80% rove, is going to overwhelm Chazaka Dmeikara, but it's going to lose to Muchzak. But if you talk about like a tier 4 rove, talking tier 3, 95%, 99%, at some point, the rove is so strong that it is a raya alimta. Again, hamot mechaver, all of our raya, doesn't mean that we ignore rove entirely, categorically. What it means is a milsa de mistabra, that the drasha, the gzeres hakosav, is machadesh. I wouldn't have known this misvara de nafshei, but the gzeres hakosav is machadesh, and there's a higher level of evidence, a higher standard of evidence. So just a regular garden variety, level 1, level 2 rove, is not enough. It's a raya elsewhere. It's a raya in Isser V'Heter. It might even be raya in Davar Sheba'erva. But in Dinei Mamonas, or it could be raya in other parts of Dinei Mamonas when there's no muchzak. But if there's a muchzak, then he has the right to demand a higher standard of evidence. So usually, the only common type of evidence that meets that higher standard is two edim. But sometimes that can have a different type of evidence that's more rare, but also meets that standard, like a chazaka, an extra strong rove. Exactly. Chazaka in Praya Tov Zmano is such a strong rove that you could be motzi, tier 4 rove, you could be motzi mamon min ha-muchzak. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger points out, and we will be netter see over the course of this year, other cases also, where every once in a while we are motzi mamun from a muchzak based on a rove, even though we do paskin like Shmuel, that's the approach of the vast majority of Rishonim, that we pass like the Chacham against Simchas, and that we pass like Shmuel against Rav. But if you have an extra strong rove, that is a raya limta. The edim are not the only type of raya limta, edim is the most common type of raya limta, but an extra strong rove, such as the one in Bava Basra, Davheim and Aleph, can also work. So now we have really built, we're beginning to build a picture in Lamdas and Lamaisa of this foundation of Safik Mamon. The Hamot Mechveh of Araya, we see where it comes from. One layer of it is a Svara, but then there's an added Chiddush that's based on Gzeres HaKasa. We do pass in like Shmuel. We accept that Gzeres HaKasav, as Rashi told us in Gittin Daf Mem Ches. And that the nature of that Gzeres HaKasav is that it's the muchzak, if there's a muchzak, if there's a Chezkas Mamon, so that grants not it's a hanhaga, but the nature of that hanhaga is that it grants muchz, bina muchza, grants the muchza kuschus to demand a raya alimta. So what would normally would have passed in other as halacha as a sufficient raya is not adequate. The only raya that's adequate, the only type of raya that could be adequate to motzim ha-muchzog is going to be either edim or maybe a tier 4 robe, something which qualifies not just a regular raya, but a raya alimta. Okay, let's just lay out where we're headed next. we're going to, you ready to have a chance, a quick show of hands, how many of you had a chance to begin to work on Bava Tzia Daf Kuf this morning? Okay, good. How many got to Tesis? Okay, perfect. So Mitzvah tomorrow morning, we're going to get to work together. Bavitiya Daf Kuf. Bavitiya Daf Kuf, the Gemara talks about Motzimech Re'ev Araya, and this is the second Gemara Motzimech Re'ev Araya, because this is going to expand it to other options. The Gemara is going to begin to, we're going to see, ultimately we get to Bava Basra Daf Lam Adal Lam, and hey, Motzimech Re'ev Araya is one of six options. We're going to begin to see what happens when there is no Muchzak. Then what?